Mining companies see higher profits, and as India's government throws open its coal sector to private business,
the big question is how to balance the environmental policies with its need for coal production.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Good news coming from mining firms globally. Glencore released figures today showing profits of more than $14 billion, up more than 40%, after big rises for the world's biggest miner, BHP Billiton, and rival Rio Tinto this week. Paul Renkin is a mining analyst for VSA Capital.
All of them are showing better profits, but then all their commodities of which they sell are having higher average prices by about 25% or so just in the last 12 months. Now, something to keep in mind is that for a mining company, when the price, the spot price of a particular metal or commodity they sell goes up by, say, 20% or so, it means about a 60% change in their actual net profit.
And what kinds of commodities are we talking about that are shooting up?
In the current environment, it's this whole battery revolution. The raw materials that go into those are things like cobalt and lithium and graphite, and also the base metals like copper and nickel and zinc and those kinds of materials.
Well, let's talk about cobalt, because half the world's supply currently comes from the Democratic Republic of Congo, a very poor, very conflict-ridden country. And the government there might approve a new mining code that tries to keep more of the profits in the country. Is that going to have a knock-on effect, do you think?
It will have a knock-on effect in that particular commodity. What is disturbing, however, is that the governments which try to change the tax rules in the midst of changes to the actual commodity price, that makes the prediction of business revenues and profits really difficult for miners. And that's because the amount of money that they must invest well in advance of the actual time when that commodity is sold, and we're talking about years and years ahead, just increases the risk that much more for the shareholders of the company.
Paul Renkin of VSA Capital. Another commodity that could see a boost is Indian coal. The industry was nationalized in the 1970s, but this week, India's government announced it's opening the sector to private firms. The BBC's Suranjana Tiwari has more.
Until now, a company called Coal India produces more than 80% of India's coal, but it's been inefficient and hasn't kept up with domestic demand. So this move could really boost production and cut imports. Now, Indian and foreign companies could now bid for coal mines here in India. That means that we can see Rio Tinto, BHP, those kinds of companies coming in and investing in India.
Now, will this help India's poor, half of whom live without continuous power, and also have very few job options?
With these new rules, there'll be no restrictions on price and output. And because foreign and domestic companies can bid for the mines, the government's hoping to raise much more revenue. And the revenue will go directly to the state governments where the coal mines are based.
Now, India's got a terrible air pollution problem, not least due to coal as well as diesel. Won't this just make that worse?
India's in a really tricky position. A lot of its electricity depends on dirty power like coal. The big question is how to balance the environmental policies with its need for coal production in order to power the country. It's hoping that by bringing in international companies and domestic companies that have better technology available, that its production of coal will be improved, that the technology will be updated, and that its profits will be put into clean energy and hopefully clean up the sector as well.
Suranjana Tiwari in Mumbai. Let's do the numbers. It's a mixed picture for global stocks, with European shares broadly lower. One clue, a survey of CEOs released this morning showed growth in Eurozone businesses slowed this month from its fastest rate in more than a decade. Still, the data says many companies are the most optimistic they've been in about 5 years. Artificial intelligence is moving so fast, a new report says hackers could attack, causing driverless car crashes and turning commercial drones into targeted weapons. More on the report in a sec. First, Nigel Toone is CEO of Graphcore in the UK, which is currently developing the biggest AI chip so far.
Imagine you're sitting in the cave thousands of years ago and, you know, somebody brings home this wild dog and says, I'm going to train it to help me hunt for food. And people worry, oh, well, you know, this wild dog is going to hurt me. Or somebody else is going to say, well, this wild dog is going to take my job as a hunter. But we've been doing this for thousands of years, basically, using tools to make our lives better. And machine learning is just the next step.
Well, one of the co-authors of that report on AI's dangers is Dr. Sean O'Hagerty from Cambridge University.
The sorts of things we've been hearing about recently, the Russian interference into the US elections, the attack on the Ukrainian power grid a couple of years ago, these are sort of precursors to the kinds of attacks that will be available, but in a more effective and powerful sense if we don't take the appropriate actions. So one area of concern is that if AI allows us to automate a lot of the techniques that are used for these attacks, then more people can carry out these attacks. We are seeing an increasing digitization of our world at an increasing pace, and vulnerabilities opening up at a rate that is difficult for us to keep up with. One of the things that we came out with a very unclear picture from the report is the rate at which the attackers would gain the advantage versus the defenders. We need to invest more resources and effort into this right now, because otherwise the technology will move faster than the people who are trying to prevent the harms.
That's Dr. Sean O'Hagerty. Finally, residents in Maine got a little crabby about a new lobster emoji that had 8 legs instead of 10. The organization behind it has come up with a redesign after a senator got involved. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.